That game was so, I'm going to say, damn good.
That is an instant classic.
So, this is what Finals is about.
This is Queens of the Court.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. This is our special edition finals bonus episode presented by AT&T. And y'all know we are excited. I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. And court is in session. And the Boom. Court this time stands for Courtney Williams.
Let's go. Let's freaking go.
Woo. Look.
We ain't got time always, to talk about nothing else. Let's just talk about it. Let's go into it.
I was just going to say, I'm always excited to record, but I couldn't be happier that we already had a recording on the books for today. We are recording this Friday morning. I'm still buzzing from the game last night. Let's dive right into it because
I never record the games unless I'm like traveling. But if I'm at home, I'm like, I'm not recording because I'm going to watch it anyway. I am so happy. My husband was doing something. So he's like, don't tell me about the game. I want to watch it. So he recorded it. And I am so going to go back and watch it today. That game was so, I'm going to say, damn good.
That is an instant classic. You're so lucky that you could just press play on that anytime.
Let's go. So, this is what Finals is about. I'm sorry, Jordan.
This was the best. I'm just going to put this out there. This was the best Finals game NBA or WNBA in five years.
Don't say that. Don't, 5 years. I thought you were going to say ever. On it.
I wasn't going to say ever.
Me and you were gonna go at it if you would have said ever.
I know you like to tussle. I wasn't gonna say ever.
No, it was close though.
It was really good. Just the excitement. So here's what happened. If you missed it, I'm sorry, but you can go back. Maybe Cheryl will have you over and you can watch it again with her. But the Lynx trailed by as many as 18 points. They came back to beat the Liberty in overtime, 95-93. Here is the stat.
On their home court. I'm sorry.
On their home court. In front of a roaring crowd. Like that crowd. Oh my God. Especially
in
at
front
the
of
beginning.
Trash talking Spike Lee. Let's go.
He's an extra defender, I feel like. That's like you're going 5-on-6 when you're playing New York Liberty and Spike Lee is in the front row. Here's the stat, Cheryl, that Alexa Philippou from ESPN posted, and it is absolutely crazy. Coming into the game, WNBA teams were 0-183 across postseason playoff games when trailing by 15 or more points in the final 5 minutes of regulation. 0-133.
Wow. As in zero, a big goose egg.
The Liberty had a 99.2 win probability with 5 minutes remaining. Here's what happened. Courtney Williams happened.
Didn't she?
Talk about a dog. You know, this used to be a proper podcast where you would bark on this podcast. And I feel like
proper. What you need? You need a big dog. You don't need a little. You don't need a. What you need? You need a.
Yeah, Courtney. I woke up this morning. I was like, I woke up. I was like, I need Cheryl to bark because Courtney Williams deserves the bark because. A dog. D-A-W-G.
She needed a little. Yeah, that's better. That was better. That was better because that's who she was. Listen, I've always loved Courtney Williams. I don't care when she was in Atlanta, when she was in Connecticut, Atlanta, back to Connecticut, Minnesota, wherever. You know why? Because Courtney Williams is going to be Courtney Williams, point blank, period, regardless of where she is. And I love the fact that Cheryl Reeve is like, here, go do you.
Yeah. Yes.
And I want to say this. She wasn't playing all that great prior to the fourth quarter.
I would agree with that. She took over.
Man, so Jordan, you got to just rein me in because it's just so much I want to say.
Okay. Let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the beginning. Because the beginning was all New York Liberty. And I mean, Phoebich, Sabrina, they couldn't miss. JJ, 10 points JJ in got that first quarter. I was watching that and I was like, Cheryl was right. She is the X factor. She is the key to this series. And it was so, it was lovely to see her post up, get the ball deep inside, get back to back and one. So how did you like that start of the New York Liberty?
Loved it. Immediately, I was like, oh, okay. The Liberty is about business today. Or in the finals. Here's my thing. Yes, I know, JJ, you shoot threes. Sis, get your ass on the block. Listen, you can shoot threes. Okay, it's great. But it was so obvious that Minnesota, they don't have anybody that can guard her in the paint. She was destroying. I don't care who it was, even through double teams.
Yeah.
Right? Posting up, scoring, getting offensive boards, putting back. Like, I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a long night for Minnesota. And absolutely. Then it just changed. Here's my thing. So, I don't remember when. I want to say halftime, maybe, when Holly interviewed Sabrina. Mm-hmm. And Sabrina said, we knew they were going to come back, right? Well, I have a problem with that answer. You know why? Because it's the finals. You're at home. You have them down by 15. No, ma'am. You don't say, we knew they were going to come back. You need to be saying, we're not going to let them come back. Mm. But Jordan, you know what's really scary to me when I look at Minnesota? I didn't think they played well.
I didn't think so either.
Fourth quarter, Courtney Williams, overtime, Nafisa. I thought Nafisa played okay for Nafisa, right? Mm-hmm. But overall, I was like, Minnesota, are you still in Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about the tired legs.
Yeah.
I was like, 48 hours ago, they just played a game five. Like, maybe this is New York's gimme. And they just completely turned it around. Sticking to that beginning, though, when JJ was dominating, it showed, like you said, that nobody could guard her. They were also bringing a double team to Nafisa Collier, which is what Connecticut didn't do, what we talked about. You can't do single coverage on Fee. So they were doubling her. It was also an interesting matchup because Courtney Williams was guarding Phoebich, and Phoebich was just shooting straight over her. And I was like, okay, that's not going to work. So there was a lot of mismatches, it seemed like, on the defensive end for Minnesota, which is their specialty. So I don't feel like they got into a rhythm at the beginning. On the defensive side, New York, I mean, Sabrina was shooting it like five times a possession. And I think the stat that was craziest overall, the Liberty were getting offensive rebounds. They had 19 more field goal attempts than Minnesota in the game. 19! They had so many opportunities.
If you're the Liberty, you may have just lost the championship.
Mm.
I'm sorry. I know anything can happen. Ooh. But you got to walk out of there with a dub last night. You should be up 1-0 right now. Listen, first quarter, JJ had 10 points and 3 rebounds.
Yeah.
Here's what I felt like happened with the Liberty, because I'll be honest, it was not Minnesota's defense.
Right.
I felt like the Liberty was like, we're up by 15. We're going to win this game. Let's just basketball.
Yeah, they just got stagnant. Yeah. They were just kind of casting a little bit from deep and also running out the clock.
Oh, my God.
They were running out the clock. I'm like, there's like a whole quarter.
Yes. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And again, I felt like the times when JJ did come out and shot threes and she made a couple. So now it's like, oh, well, I'm going to play on the perimeter. So you had everybody shooting three. Yes, Sabrina is one of the best three-point shooters in the league. But there was a point where I felt like, Sabrina, not a good shot, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And then Phoebish was shooting, and they weren't falling. Like, they started the game off. They were knocking down threes. It was so beautiful to watch. And then when they started missing, I was like, listen, move the basketball. Get the ball inside to JJ. Right. So when JJ starts scoring in the paint, and Minnesota's going to have to switch something up. They start double teaming her. Then she can kick out to the shooters for wide open shots. But it was kind of like they were like, come down one possession, just get the rebound, come down. No pass. Let's just shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And even in doing that, they still had the lead because Minnesota was not defending anybody.
It's always so interesting when it's a vibe shift in a game, right? Like, New York got tight and they got tense and their shoulders were kind of up by their ears. Yeah. And so you saw that with, okay, we're going to play not to lose. Like, just hold on to the lead. Don't lose
it. Exactly how they played.
Instead of, we're going to keep our foot on the gas and keep going to what's working. And the things that were working was JJ inside, ball movement.
Yeah.
Courtney Vandersloot came in and shifted the game. Her passing, she had a whole different aura about her coming off the bench. She wasn't even first off the bench. Sandy went big first rather than a guard. But when she came in, she kind of took control of the offense a little bit. And then it was just a shift. So my question to you is, when that second half happened and Minnesota went on their run and cut it to 2 points, like before anybody could blink, what were they doing well to get them going and to close the gap?
You know, the thing I saw with Minnesota, again, even though the first half, I didn't think they played well. But this is a Cheryl Reeve type team where it's like, they don't care what the score is, how they've played. Cheryl like pours confidence into you. Like, there were a couple of times when I'm sitting here watching and it was turnover and turnover and bad shot and turnover. And I was like, what are y'all doing? And Cheryl's on the sideline just clapping like, we're good. We're good. Right. Mm. Like, you need that from your head coach in moments like that. But what I felt like Minnesota did was they saw and felt that New York was kind of like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
We cannot put them away. And there were, I know Fee ended up with 21 points, but I did not feel like it was a Nafisa Collier type performance. But she hit some crucial buckets. Right. Kayla McBride hit some crucial buckets, Jordan. But even then, it wasn't until the fourth quarter when Courtney Williams just took over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, we in this thing. We are in this thing.
Totally to your point of sensing that from New York. Like, they were like, oh, you're going to keep the door open just a little bit? Okay, we're going to creep in a little bit more. Okay, we're going to creep in a little bit more. All right, you're giving us some leadway.
Yeah.
Now we are going to bust through the door in the fourth quarter.
They were like, oh, y'all don't want this game?
Oh, okay. Oh, we'll take it. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I'm gonna go back home. Yeah,
we'll take that. I think also what you said, Nafisa Collier maybe wasn't scoring at a high volume like we've seen her in previous series, but the shots that she did make felt like they were 10-point shots. Like,
oh, they were
huge. The timing, yes, you know?
They were huge.
Gosh, and they were tough shots.
Oh my gosh. But you know what? You know what they did do also? You saw the Minnesota defense come alive in the second half, in the third quarter. And it was just, I don't know. I can't get over New York just letting one slip away. And anything can happen, but I really do fit because now Minnesota has home court advantage. They just took one off of your home court. Mm-hmm. They're going back home, and they're going back home with a lot of momentum. Say it again.
They're going back home in game three.
I thought it was one. No, am I wrong?
No, it'll be two in New York.
Okay. But still, they just took one off of your home court.
Yeah.
And back to what my original point, Minnesota didn't play well. The first half especially. And they were able to win the game.
And they came in with so much confidence because it's like, we've been here. We've done this before. And I want to say, too, Nafisa Collier, we're talking about her shot making, but it was her defense that really showed up. Six blocks for Fee. And she was like, yeah, this is why I'm DPOY. Like, I'm guarding everybody. I got Stewie in cuffs. I got JJ flailing. I'm everywhere. And that was huge to her defensive performance. But I want to go to the fourth quarter, the final push of this game. So the Lynx in the game, 18-3 run, getting their first lead of the game with 5.5 seconds on the clock, 84-83, thanks to a crazy 4-point play from Courtney Williams. She sank a 3-pointer and won. Sabrina, why are you fouling? Why are you contesting that hard?
Yeah, because it was a foul. Yeah, yeah. Courtney stayed in the shot, though. She shot it, and like Sabrina fouled her, and she's falling to the ground and is looking at it, and that thing went in, and she got up like, man, I'm built for this. I am built for this moment. Ooh, I got chills. I got chills.
I know.
I was having me a glass of wine. I was like,
I was screaming. It was actually nothing cute about my response. I was just pure screaming at the top of my lungs.
Because I was outside yelling when Courtney hit that shot and got fouled. It was so good. Courtney Williams, girl, don't be so mean.
I feel like we just need a Courtney Williams dad cam the whole time, just a straight feed of her dad, because he was going crazy, especially after she made that shot. So then that takes us to a weird collection of calls from the ref.
Very weird.
That, to me, was very clearly weird. Off of Stewie, but they call it a jump ball.
Oh, and no, it was. I'm sorry. Don't skip over that.
It was absolutely off of Stewie.
and said fast motion, slow motion, medium motion, whatever motion you want to play it in, it was off of Stewie. But Jordan, you know the old saying, ball don't lie?
Mm-hmm.
I seriously told my husband when she went to the free throw line, I said, she's going to miss one of these. But Stewie, you ain't supposed to. I said she was going to, but you're not supposed to.
Stewie.
Oh. Just left the door.
I mean, and she felt it too. You see her look after she missed that free throw.
Man.
She was like, oh, she was seething.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Like, you have to make that.
Yeah.
You have to make that. You have to make that free throw. That's going to haunt her for a really long time. Like, well, how do you, what do you do after that?
And if you're the Liberty fans, the staff, her teammates, you want her at the free throw line. But I mean, yeah. You're like, oh, Stewie's going to the free throw line. Both of these are good. Girl, when she missed the second one, though, I put my head down and I was like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. This is going to be such an ending.
You know, I was like you. I was like, okay, Stewie, I kind of want you to miss one just for the chaos, but I didn't think she would actually do it. Like, I was like, yeah, come on. I want chaos. Like those Buffalo Wild Wings commercials where they're like overtime. Like, I wanted to just press a button for that, but I didn't think she would actually miss it. I want to read something though, real quick, because they released a report, the referees, to kind of go over those last second calls. And I want to read it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the crew chief was Isaac Barnett, and Cassandra Negley, who's a reporter from Yahoo. This is what she asked. She said the jump ball with 3.9 seconds left in regulation on the ball that was out of bounds. Why was that called a jump ball rather than determining who it was out of bounds on? The crew chief said, per rule, the calling official did not have a definitive information and we don't guess. So our protocol is to ask the nearest official. They also did not have definitive knowledge. So we asked the third official. They did not have definitive knowledge. So by rule, we resume play with a jump ball because we knew the two players involved. A jump ball takes place at the nearest circle. Negley, is that allowed to be challenged? Barnett, yes. However, the team needs to have, both teams need to have a team timeout available in order to challenge. Because neither team did, by rule, we resume play with the jump ball at the nearest circle. Can officials decide to review that? No, that is not one of our reviewable matters. I think that was an interesting talking point. It can only be reviewed by a coach's challenge. Negley also asked, Brianna Stewart's drive to the basket with 2 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Why was it called a block on Nafisa Collier rather than a foul? Barnett, we determined that Collier got to the height of the ball and successfully blocked the shot. Any contact afterwards is deemed incidental. So that's the end of the report. I thought that was interesting. Any thoughts on that? It was a lot of eyes on the referees in these last final seconds of the game.
No, I'm gonna let the referees make it. I'm gonna let them make it. That's all I'll say. But I will say this. You know, when I played, Coach Chancellor used to always say, "Don't let the referees be human." Right? Meaning we all make mistakes, but it was so obvious that the ball went off of Stewie's foot. So really it should have been Minnesota's ball anyway, when they call that jump ball, right? But whatever. And then the foul that they called, right? Did they call it? It wasn't on Nafisa. Did they call it on Nafisa? No, they called it on Atlanta, maybe?
I think so, yeah. The final one. Seemed like time went off the clock. That just added to the drama. I was like, sure.
It was a lot, yeah. And I'm just glad I'm not a referee.
Because I say it's obvious to us in slow motion, but I don't know if I would have been able to guess that in the time. But they went through three referees and nobody knew. So that's why we got a jump ball. I think that wasn't clear during the game. So that's why I wanted to read that report, because it kind of just seemed like, I don't know.
I was wondering the same thing.
Jump ball.
Like, I didn't know that either, but okay. So great. Okay. Great. If you don't know, and because I too was like, if I'm Cheryl Reeve, I'm going to challenge it.
Yes. She didn't have a timeout.
Yeah. Now I know all of that. It was so dramatic.
I was dramatic.
I had anxiety. I was stressing. I ain't even playing. I was just like, oh my goodness, what is going on now?
Okay, so now we go into overtime, and I'm so happy. We get free basketball. We go into overtime, and it was definitely a momentum thing. You have a Lynx team that came from the bottom from the past 5 minutes to get it to this point. They could have, New York could have won it. Stewie missed this free throw, so their morale is down because we could have been over. The Lynx morale is up because, hey, look, we still have a chance.
The door is still open.
The door is wide open at this point.
Yeah.
And the Lynx really controlled overtime. What stuck out to you from that overtime frame?
I really, to your point, the fact that Minnesota was able to get to overtime, first of all, when you just look at the entire game, right? They were able to get to overtime. Now it's a whole different ball game. I felt like Minnesota had momentum on their side. They had the confidence on their side. And when Stewie missed that free throw, not only could you see how pissed she was, but to me, it looked like the the air was let out for New York. Like, dang. And Minnesota saw that, and they just came out like, oh, okay, we about to give it to y'all now.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, there was still a moment for the Liberty to win the game.
Okay, wait, before that, Nafisa Collier's turnaround shot over JJ was like, put it in a museum. It was beautiful.
Over JJ.
It was the touch on a turnaround. It was so skilled and come on. Like, it was just like, Collier is that girl. And it was a fadeaway. That was 8 seconds left, and that put them ahead.
Jordan, and when she shot it, she didn't laugh, but she had this smile like, this is what I do. This is what I do. Like, when she shot it, though, I was like, oh, that's going to be tough. Over JJ, fade away. And that thing went in, and she smiled and ran back. In that moment is when I was like, Minnesota might win the whole thing.
Oh, that was definitely I'm winning a championship this year. Somebody posted that difficulty of Fee's shot was at a 90% difficulty rate. And when you think about it, JJ is 6'6". Yep. Her arms were completely outstretched. Yeah, that is a very, very difficult shot to make.
And I don't remember the time, but wasn't the shot clock running out when she shot that?
Yeah, she was definitely under pressure. I mean, it was she picked up her dribble. She didn't have many options. So it was a little bit of a Hail Mary, but trust the touch.
It was tough.
Wow.
It was tough.
So that happens. Then we get a timeout from New York. They draw up a play out of bounds and side out of bounds. And it doesn't look like anything's really going to happen, but Stewie starts driving to the basket and Fee just wraps her up. Not a shooting foul. They had a foul to give.
Smart
she just
foul.
Wraps her up.
Smart.
Very
foul.
Smart foul. Incredibly smart. I think basketball heads know just how smart that is, because it left them only 2.6 seconds on the game clock to make something happen. So now, Cheryl, we go to this final play, and you put it in your two-time MVP's hands. And she has Nafisa Collier beat. And now this is where it gets into the hot topic. Me and my husband disagreed. He said she should have pulled up for the three. You're going for the win. Pull up.
Oh, no.
I say she had the midi. Once she had Fee beat, she had the mid-range right there. But what do you say?
Well, first of all, no, I'm not pulling up for the three because you're at home. You're at home. So worst case, you don't take a three, you get a two, you're going overtime again. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But here's my thing. Even to your point about the midi, Jordan, she had a layup.
Yeah, true.
She got all the way to the basket.
Good point.
So there is no better shot than a freaking layup.
Mm.
And my thing is, not only did she miss it, like it was a brick layup. Do you know what I'm like? She shot it and it just bam, like wasn't even close to going in.
Not
but
bam.
There's no, it was a bam. There's no better shot than a layup.
And so true.
To your point, you're two-time MVP. I'm saying all day long, give me the rock, coach.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah. But no, tell your husband. He is so wrong. We ain't taking a three.
Oh, I told him. Mm-mm. He'll listen to this. He'll hear you say it, though.
I know.
But I it ain't nothing better than a layup. She went up. First of all, you see the slow-mo and it was like a movie. Like Fee is beat. She's saying, don't foul. Yes. Don't foul.
She was beat.
Three people are coming over from the help side, hands straight up. Bridget Carlton, Alana Smith, everybody. And Stewie tries to shield from the contact. So she goes up right hand on
which was a mistake.
Go up with the left. You could have hooked. Yes. We've seen you make it.
Oh, no. You go. You finish with the left. You're on the left side. Finish with the left. First of all, when she tried to finish with the right, that's where the defense was.
Yeah.
You had Alana Smith coming over because Fee was beat. Alana Smith is coming over trying to block it. I don't understand why she didn't just go up with the left. Not sure. I'm not sure. Hindsight.
Ooh, okay.
I do have this question
real quick. Yeah.
Because you know, Minnesota, after they win, they do the electric slide. Did they slide on the Liberties?
No.
No, they didn't slide. Okay.
They didn't slide. They just saved that.
They ran to the locker room. They didn't slide. Okay. Whew, but that was good.
So not only was that top tier entertainment, the basketball was at a ridiculously high level. If you were just introduced to the Courtney Williams playoff party, welcome. She finished with 23 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Kayla McBride, I feel like, again, just had those timely shots. She really showed up for Minnesota when they needed her. 22 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, including 4 threes. And Nafisa Collier, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 6 blocks.
Big girl blocks.
And overtime, she had 4 points, a rebound, 1 assist, and 2 steals. Now, my takeaway, just sticking with Minnesota, and I want to know what yours is, the rebounding has to get better. And that is what Cheryl Reeve harped on. I thought she was going to sub in Rebecca Brunson off of her coaching bench to get some rebounds. Because what? Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll see you on the other side. So yeah, I think that is something that they're going to need to do. But what's something for Minnesota, one quick thing that they need to focus on going into game two?
No, I mean, they have to rebound the ball better. And especially when you look at matchups, and they're undersized especially with their starters, right? With JJ, they've got to rebound the ball better. And I also would love to see Bridget Carlton
come back. Yeah.
Come back. Because when she's shooting the rock, she makes Minnesota a better team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. For New York, JJ finished with 24 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. On paper, this looks great. But when you think about the 10 points that she had in the first quarter and how I think at the there was at one point in the fourth quarter, she was sitting at 19. So she went through almost three quarters only scoring 9 points. So she finished with 24 points and she had 5 points in overtime. But we'll leave that there. Sabrina, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. But she was 6 for 24 on the night for shooting. That is, that hurts the soul a little bit. You want to let it fly, but then Breonna Stewart, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 0 points in overtime, which I think is also interesting. Phoebich isn't listed here on our notes, but she had 17, so a huge lift, which we knew that she was going to bring and be an X factor in this series. But if there's one thing or a few things quickly, what does New York need to do for game two?
Keep JJ off the 3-point line and put her in the paint. Alanna Smith can defend JJ on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
She can't defend JJ when JJ is in the paint dominating. They need to feed her, and make Minnesota adjust what they want to do defensively.
Mm.
And if and when New York gets a lead, stop just jacking up threes because you have a nice lead. Move the basketball and force Minnesota to have to defend several actions. Make them have to defend from side to side. You got to move the basketball. You can't get selfish and say, well, it's my turn and just start jacking up threes.
Absolutely. Minnesota led the league this season in assists. New York was second. Like, do the things that got you here.
Yeah.
And it was very much when Minnesota was coming back. Like you said, New York was running out the clock, doing weird things offensively. And then Minnesota was like, boom, we're moving the ball. Quick movements, score. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to get the ball back. We're going to hold it. We're going to figure it out. You do the things that were working, and that was JJ inside the paint.
It was.
And Minnesota has to adjust to that even coming into game two. But you got to go to it until you are forcing them to double or change. Weird times. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait. How many hours?
Game two will be interesting.
How many hours till game two? This is what the final is all about. This is what the final is all about. Game two can't come soon enough.
Mm.
All right. Make sure to keep following, rate, review the show. Tell us your emotions. I kind of want to hear from Liberty fans and Minnesota fans. Like, what were you guys feeling through that game? Because I don't have a dog in the fight. The only dog that I was rooting for was Courtney Williams. But I just think, if you are a fan, if you are in New York, in Brooklyn during this game, how are you feeling? So let us know at queensofthecourt@odyssey.com.
I'm so there with you. I ain't got a dog in the fight either. But if I'm the Liberty fans, I don't know how I felt walking out of there. And Spike Lee, come on the show. Yes, I want to get your thoughts on all of this. But anyway, y'all know where to find us on social media. You can find me at AirSwoops22. And she, her, Jordan is at Hey Jordan R.
Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
The show is produced by James Jackson. The executive producers are Asha Saluja, Maddie Sprung-Kaiser, and Leah Reese Dennis. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple. Music from T-Storm Battle. And a very special thank you to Alex Ozzy and Lena Moss Glazer.
And Court.
And Court.
Is adjourned.